You're listening to Doing Law Differently. Join me, Lucy Dickens, as I explore how the world's most progressive legal service providers are doing law differently. Welcome back to the Doing Law Differently podcast. I'm your host, Lucy Dickens. One of the objectives with this podcast is to show you that there are so many different ways to be a lawyer, and as well as that, so many different versions of success. Both of those topics are themes that come up over and over again in today's interview. I'm joined by Tara Lukey, who is a former big firm lawyer and partner who, before 30, became sick and tired, quite literally, of swapping time for money, and instead started using her law degree to create passive income and a happy, healthy lifestyle at the beach. Tara now teaches other professionals how to use estate planning in their business, as well as keeping up her own practice of law and working for clients directly through the Nexus Law Group. Tara shares her story with us, from why she left big law, how she worked out what she wanted to do with her life, redefining success, earning a passive income, and then reshuffling all of that now that she's recently had a baby. As always, if you enjoy the episode, it would mean a lot to me if you could leave a rating and review. Over 80% of you listen to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, so it's really, really easy to do. Just go to the Doing Law Differently page on Apple Podcasts, not the episode page, the one for the podcast itself, and there you can leave a star rating and review, and it really helps other people to find out about the show, as well as gives me some enjoyment from hearing what you think. So I'd really appreciate it if you could leave a quick rating and review. Now, here's Tara Lukey of The Art of Estate Planning on the Doing Law Differently podcast. Tara, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Lucy. It's a pleasure.
A pleasure for me too. I've been a member of your Facebook group, The Art of Estate Planning, for quite some time, and I'm really looking forward to speaking to you to learn some more about the behind the scenes of your business model, because it seems really, really interesting. Now, I normally dive in to the hot topic or the really practical stuff that I'm interested in learning about from my guests, but I want to take a minute with you to talk first about your journey and why you decided to start your business. So tell us about that. I'm interested in what wasn't working and what led you to want to do things differently.
Sure. I'd love to share it, because I suspect that there's other people who might be feeling how I was feeling back before I made the big change. And this can be a story of inspiration or hope to make a change. And I think it's important to share. So I basically had... it's not really, but a quarter life crisis, I suppose, back in 2016, where I was a partner of a boutique law firm. I had been practicing for about 8 years, specializing in estate planning and tax and asset protection, basically working with the same group of people for my whole career. So I was a research clerk, a graduate lawyer, and then worked my way up through the ranks at a firm in Brisbane. And then with a group of people, we left and set up View Legal. And I got to maybe like a year into running the firm as a partner and just realized it was so not for me. And I really struggled with the whole thing, because, you know, becoming a partner was...
It's what we're told. This is the journey and it's the ladder and you work your way up. And so you were there, and when you got there, you thought, actually, this isn't what it's all cracked up to be.
Exactly. And I had worked my butt off, every meal at my desk. I never went outside. I was all about loving life in the law until I wasn't.
And what was it that you didn't like? What didn't work for you?
Well, it was a really difficult environment, and I shared a post on Facebook recently about some of the sort of toxic aspects of law firm culture that I don't think are unique to my experience. I had like over 50 people commenting saying they'd had similar experiences and worked in similar environments, and a lot of those traits were evident in the environment that I was in. It was very high performance kind of environment, and you know, maybe not great leadership from the top, and a lot of sort of harassment and pressure to perform and, you know, really overperform. And I just, you know, there was just no sort of health and work-life balance happening. So I found myself, you know, not even 30, just going, oh my goodness, I've reached my definition of success. And this does not feel like success at all. I feel sick. My relationships are breaking down because I'm so stressed out and developing anxiety. And, you know, I never go outside. I'm just constantly, I did yoga. That was maybe what kept me sane, but you know, it's not enough to just get up at the crack of dawn, go to yoga, go back inside and work 14 hours a day and repeat. So
it's a lot.
I just went, oh my goodness, this isn't sustainable. And so I ended up getting very sort of burnt out. And what came with that was, you know, my health was deteriorating. I was becoming anxious when I hadn't really struggled with that before. And I ended up going on stress leave for a while and then ended up sort of stepping out of the firm. And I consulted back for a little bit, but, you know, just doing sort of like online meetings because we ran an online estate planning platform. So I was like a gun for hire, stepping in and doing an hour meeting to present some wills and really not having any file management or responsibility. And while I did that, I moved to the Gold Coast. I spent a lot of time lying on the beach and doing those, you know, those colouring in meditation yeah. books.
I remember they were a craze for a while, a couple of years ago, weren't they? Maybe that was about the
yeah.
time.
Mm-hmm. It was. So I did a lot of that and just listened to a lot of different things outside of the law and started learning surfing. And I particularly had one friend I met through surfing and she's in HR and she was like, oh, well, while you're on this break, what are you going to do for passive income? And I was like, I'm a lawyer. Excuse me. We don't need passive income. We're above passive income, you know. I just was so closed off to it when she first mentioned it to me. And then she just kind of kept bringing it up because she was also doing her own passive income journey. And eventually I sort of was just struck with inspiration saying, well, actually, I have a really unique background where I was running an online estate planning platform and one of the things that role involved was talking to hundreds of financial planners and accountants about how can they help their clients with estate planning. So how can they talk to their clients about actually getting their estate planning sorted, motivating them to get past some of those mental blocks, and then also how can they project manage and facilitate it. And I knew, having been part of a team who built an online estate planning firm, which was, you know, pretty innovative back in the day, I knew all the sort of problems and challenges that accountants and financial planners were having with using a firm like that. And I also knew a lot about how those firms operated. So I realized that I had this pretty unique skill set that not many other lawyers in the country had about how to sort of bridge that gap and teach financial planners how to actually utilize these services.
Have you given any thought to what helped you to reach that realization? I mean, you've mentioned your friend on the beach, but the reason why I ask is I think it's really quite hard to identify what our superpower is from, you know, what you do yeah. just comes naturally to you. And you think that everybody sees things this way. At least I think that everybody sees things this way. And this isn't really a special skill because it's really, really easy. But in fact, other people definitely don't see the world that way. And for me, tapping into and identifying what that thing is and then tapping into it has been really key for me in changing and influencing my business. So how did you identify what that thing was?
I think it was a combination of things. Firstly, I was very fortunate and I think it's probably harder for people who are trying to do this while they're, you know,
working
deep in working yeah. and already have so much on their plate. Like I was really fortunate that I had the financial freedom to just take a break and step away. So I was able to expose myself to a lot of things outside of the law, which firstly helped, I think, to just bring back some inspiration and creativity. And it also made me realize that it wasn't being a lawyer, that wasn't working for me. Like I at first I thought that might have been the case, although I really didn't have any other skills. I couldn't even make a coffee, so I didn't really know what I was going to do if law wasn't the answer. But after a little bit of a break, I realized that I really like estates and I really like being a lawyer. It was just that particular environment that wasn't right for me. And I always had in my mind as well, this is a bit of a tangent, but I was thinking, well, I don't want to go back to that environment. And I also, even if I could go back to that environment now, you know, being in my early 30s and a single woman with good health and energy, how is that environment going to serve me if I wanted to have children? So I was really set on trying to sort of make my own path so that I didn't have to go back to working full time. And because I suppose I always had this FOMO because I had gone straight from school to uni to working, and I worked really hard for about 10 years. And so I didn't really travel that much. I didn't
get to. You didn't know what else was out there.
Yeah. And so I really wanted to just, you know, travel and pursue other things. So I was really set on not going back. So I just want to say for people listening to this going, oh God, when am I going to have this inspiration? I was really in a great situation that I had given myself about 6 months of freedom and space to be struck down with inspiration, which is kind of what happened.
And it did. And you said you were thinking, how am I going to set my career up to suit my lifestyle into the future? And from what I know, I can see two things that helped you with that. And those are your art of estate planning and working through Nexus. So let's talk about those. You've already mentioned the art of estate planning. So this is your group where you help financial advisors, accountants, and lawyers to grow their business with estate planning. Tell me about that.
Okay. So I actually started the art of estate planning with an online course. So that was the core of it. And the inspiration for that sort of came from my girlfriend who I met at surfing and also a couple of other friends I'd met who we used to just catch up and deliberately talk about how to create passive income. So it was really handy to have people who weren't in my industry and look at what they were doing. But I also was inspired by Amy Porterfield.
Yeah.
For anyone listening, and also Grace Lever, who is an Australian version of Amy Porterfield. So I went down the online course route, and my course, as you said, teaches accountants and financial planners and some other lawyers as well are joining the course about how to use estate planning to grow their business. So it's not about training any of them to give legal advice, rather the more practical skills around how to sort of identify your clients who need estate planning support, and then how to facilitate or project manage that outcome for those clients through finding a legal solution. Because a lot of estate planning in an upfront estate planning process is about people skills and helping people overcome their inertia. And there's a fair bit of it that isn't necessarily a legal process. And you absolutely do need legal solution in there. But we've got a situation in Australia where 25% of people have a will and about 75% of people don't. So we really need to do some work on how we can motivate people to get their estate planning done. And I think involving financial planners and accountants is a real part of that solution.
Yeah, I agree. I also practice in estate planning, so I'm familiar with all of the concepts that you're talking about. But I think one of the reasons, and I'm sure there are many, but I think one of the reasons why you're also attracting lawyers is because nobody else is helping us learn. How do we talk to our, how do we have these conversations with clients? How do we encourage people to get a will without making it, you know, like we're trying to push a sale on them or those kinds of things. So I can really see that you've identified a real unmet need in the market with financial advisors, accountants and lawyers, you know, all the people who you're trying to target.
Yeah, and there's, you know, a lot of lawyers who may not specialise in estate planning, like say family lawyers, like every one of their clients needs a new will. They're either separating or divorcing or, you know, perhaps entering into a new relationship. And those events usually require a new estate plan. So it's a beautiful opportunity for those lawyers to leverage their relationship that they already have to just help their client, you know, close that gap and get some peace of mind and a proper plan in place. And I think the legal market has changed where not every person has their local lawyer anymore. A lot of people, you know, go through life without seeing a lawyer. You know, maybe they'll have a conveyancer come in and do a discreet transaction, but they don't have like a trusted lawyer anymore. And going to see a lawyer can feel intimidating and perhaps expensive, or there's uncertainty around the cost. So my sort of philosophy is leveraging relationships where there's already trust to help get the estate planning sorted can remove some of the barriers for people who are, you know, overwhelmed or scared about getting their estate plan. And also, if you've got a trusted relationship already and the idea of getting your estate planning sorted and talking about this sort of scary issues that come up, if that is already overwhelming, then having someone who you trust guide you through that process can make it a bit easier. So that's sort of the origins of how the Art of Estate Planning was born. And it started with an online course, which I still have. And then out of that, we developed the Facebook group sort of as a way to access me and to support people through that. But it's actually turned into this amazing community that has well exceeded my expectations. The collaboration that goes on in there is just every day I'm just amazed and totally stoked to see how wonderful everyone is, and the multiple disciplines sort of coming together to find solutions just blows me away.
Yeah, I agree. I often post questions in there as well. And I think you hit the nail on the head. It's having the multidisciplinary approach. So you can throw a question out there and you're not just hearing from other lawyers, you're also hearing from accountants and financial planners and anybody who might have some interest in the practice area. And it really gives a really unique perspective that's really, really valuable. Why help other peers to grow their business? Obviously, you're not concerned about how that might take away business from you if you're helping other lawyers, say, to grow their estate planning business. But that's something that a lot of people would be concerned or put off by, thinking, I don't want to help them because they might take business away from me.
Yeah. Well, firstly, I practice in a very narrow range of circumstances. And as the Art of Estate Planning is growing and growing, I'm less and less interested in slogging away as a lawyer working directly with clients. So I suppose the thing that brings me the most joy is the Art of Estate Planning. And then also I do like working with clients, but I usually prefer to just work in my little genius space, which is upfront estate planning and business succession for people who have maybe slightly more complex matters that are interesting and challenging. And so I actually refer a lot out. And because I sort of got wearing two hats in the sense that, and sorry, this is before I had the baby as well, which is another hat, a very big hat that I've taken on. But even prior to that, you know, I was spending half my time on the Art of Estate Planning in terms of growing that and cultivating that community, and then the other half working directly with clients. But I don't want to work full time. Mm-hmm. I don't think I need to work full time to make a full time income as a lawyer. I've sort of overcome some money blocks there to own that I deserve passive income, and there's ways to be successful financially as a lawyer without working and swapping time for money. So I sort of challenged myself to not work. And look, it's very easy for me because when I sort of started doing all of this, I was single, didn't have any dependents, I could take some risks. And I sort of just said, I'm not going to work full time. And then I think once you take the leap and do it, you make it work. So for me, sort of helping other lawyers, I find a lot of joy in that. And I can't serve every client directly. And you know what? There's a huge untapped market there anyway. You know, 75% of people don't have estate planning documents in place anyway. So
there's plenty of work to go around. Yeah, that's the approach. That's my view as well. There's enough work for us all. And it's much more enjoyable if we collaborate and we think, how can we help each other and how can we work together, than it is if we're kind of take, and I'm not going to help you because I want everything. I mean, we can only serve so many clients anyway, as could I. So there's always a limit there. Have you got your hands on my new ebook? It's filled with 80 short, sharp, and practical tips to help you firm your foundations, sort your strategy, and optimize your operations so that you can modernize your law firm. Get your copy at lucydickens.com.au/ebook. I want to ask you one more question about the art of estate planning, because I think it's something that people will be thinking, and that is, how passive really is it? And how do you make, I mean, obviously a lot of time goes into this Facebook group, and you're now doing like live webinars and sessions as an education piece as well. So how passive is it really?
Great question. I mean, it's not completely passive. It probably could be, but I can't help myself by keeping...
Well, you want to be involved, yeah.
Yeah. It's almost like a hobby for me, and especially have found since I had my son. So he, at the time of recording, he's 4.5 months old, and I initially was just going to have 3 months off completely. And then he was a coronavirus baby. So my husband, who's a physiotherapist, basically has been working from home with me and my baby for the whole time that he's been born. So the initial plan was he'd be back to work in 2 weeks, and it'd be me and Nash for 12 hours a day, just
doing hanging out, doing the new mum thing.
Yeah. But we've all been home together for, you know, the 4.5 months or so, which has given me a little bit more support, so that I started doing more with the art of estate planning earlier than I thought. And partly because it's my baby as well, and I want to be involved and I really enjoy it. So in terms of passive, people who purchase from me, the whole thing's passive. They get automatic emails. They just access it as they like. The actual delivery is passive. Creating the buzz and keeping the story going, it's a little bit less passive. I basically preload all my social media a month in advance, and a lot of it is evergreen content that I sort of recycle every few months.
Yes.
And then I just create new things as I get inspired. So there's like maybe a couple of hours once a month to like set up my social media, and then I just kind of, you know, if I'm breastfeeding or whatever, just do little stories here and there and keep it going.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then once a week I do host a Facebook Live, and like this year I've been getting a lot of guests on just to sort of take the pressure off me, partly because I've got major baby brain, and getting my brain and my mouth to work at the same time doesn't always come together, and I don't have the time to sort of research in-depth issues.
But it also makes sense. It takes some pressure off you, takes some time off of you, but there's a hell of a lot of expertise in that group, and you're elevating other people and you're giving them the spotlight as well as taking off some of the pressure, and you have less time for you to prepare and present and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. So look, the delivery of it is all passive, but creating the buzz and the networking and driving the sales, that's not particularly passive. But it is all stuff that I can just do a couple of hours a week on, a lot of it through my phone, and it's really given me a lot of freedom. And just for some inspiration out there for people who are going, and look, online courses is the path that I've taken, but it doesn't have to be. But my husband, who's a physio, who you would think that physiotherapy is pretty hands-on and in person and requires a lot of personal execution, we've made him a couple of online courses as well, because he specializes in shoulder and frozen shoulder, and he's also doing his PhD in it. And we've made him an online course to teach other physios and other health professionals about how to manage shoulder pain and what he's learned as part of his PhD. And between the two of our courses, you know, it's really just taken all the pressure off for us to have to, you know, get back to our day jobs. And actually his courses are heaps more successful than mine, because he has an international market, which I'm both proud of and slightly annoyed at, because I had to learn everything the hard way.
Yeah, and yours is limited to Australia because the laws are different. But hey, you can take some credit for his, because you helped him build it. I'm sure that's the way it should work.
It's been been a lot easier with the tech build for his because I had to slog
it out. You figured it all out. Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about Nexus Law Group a little bit. I interviewed Marcus McCarthy back in episode 20 and I was fascinated by their business model. I think it sounds really, really interesting. And I also really liked Marcus. He just seems to be such a really genuine person who really cares about the people who he has working for him. So what's it like working as a lawyer with Nexus? Tell us a bit about how it works and specifically how it works for you.
Well, you're totally spot on. Marcus, totally chilled and a wonderful person, and your impression of him is exactly my experience. I've been with the Nexus Law Group almost 2 years now, and I was really deliberate about joining them, and I spent, you know, 3 or 4 months trying to work out what am I going to do with respect to my law degree? Because the art of estate planning is actually not a legal business. It's not registered as a legal practice and it excludes all legal advice. But I still wanted to become a lawyer also because at the start, you know, it was a startup. So I still needed to earn some money and I still enjoy being a lawyer, but I'm just very picky about which matters I choose. So the Nexus Law Group has been perfect for me. Basically, from my perspective, and this isn't probably exactly the party line of how Nexus promotes itself, but from my perspective, I have the best of both worlds. I feel like I'm part of a law firm and also running my own practice. So I can choose which clients I work for, whether I work at all. You know, I think I started and then 3 months I went to Europe for my friend's wedding and had a big European trip. And now I've been on maternity leave since January. Mm-hmm. And they don't care.
Yeah.
They don't ask me when I'm coming back. They don't have a budget for me. They answer calls from my clients. I pay them 30% of everything I bill and they take care of everything else. And it's amazing for me because I don't have the pressure of fixed costs. I don't have the pressure of keeping people's original wills anywhere. If it turns out now that I've got my son that being a lawyer and working directly with clients isn't something that I'm able to manage, then it doesn't matter. I don't have to close down my law firm.
The pressure's off, isn't it? It's you can choose your own destiny. You're autonomous.
Yeah.
You don't have to report back to anyone and you're not under pressure from anyone to do things a certain way or to achieve a certain budget. It's all on you, which in itself is it's a good thing for you, but that would actually be quite daunting for a lot of people.
You do have to be prepared to have a sole practitioner mindset in the sense of sourcing your own clients. There's a great referral network within Nexus. So, for instance, I'm referring a lot of my matters to the Nexus estate planning specialist because it's got a great team of people who specialize in estate planning, which creates so much peace of mind for me also when I can't serve somebody at the moment because it is too much for me to juggle with Nash at the moment. But I know that I can say, great, I'll do a handover to one of our other lawyers and you'll be in safe hands. It's really reassuring to me. But you do have to know that you can bring in enough fees on your own without relying on the referral network. And, the network's great. But, yeah, if you sort of want the security of being an employee, the group isn't for you. But for me, and particularly as someone who thought I will have kids soon, or if that doesn't happen, I want to travel or have the freedom to work really flexibly, the Nexus Law Group was perfect because I get to call my own shots, but I also have the support network of other lawyers if I need to bounce something off, and I've got so much administration support. It's fabulous. So I can't rave about how fantastic they are enough. I'm so grateful that they're here and that I was able to join them and I took the time to choose because it's just been the most perfect thing to help me through this phase of motherhood and being able to keep my hand in without the pressure of my maternity leave's ending. I have to go back.
Yeah, exactly right. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. This is allowing you to work out what you want it to look like for you and then making that happen. Okay, Tara, what advice would you give to somebody who wants to do law differently?
If you're feeling that you're unhappy in your situation, I know I felt like I didn't have a lot of options, and back when I was sort of going through all of that, social media wasn't anywhere near as prevalent. So maybe people can see that there's an abundance of lawyers who are creating their own path in the law, but I personally didn't see that. And I guess I was in my own sort of echo chamber with the people I was around. And I firstly didn't feel like I had a lot of options. So I left it way too late and basically got to the point of burnout and breakdown. And then I was forced to make a change. So my advice would be, if you're feeling unhappy, do talk to people and try to get some inspiration, because there are so many ways to be a lawyer and still, you know, be happy in the way that you want to, because everyone's idea of success will be different. So I think tapping into what your idea of success is probably a really good start, and then trying to work out how to close the gap on your current situation. But know that there are ways, you're not stuck.
Yeah.
And there are options, and it won't be the end of the world if you take a break.
I love that advice, and I see that play out all the time when I work with clients in the business coaching I do. I always start by asking them about, what do you want your life to look like and what does success mean to you? And then we can work out how to build the business that lets them achieve that. Because so often people are either caught up in what they think they should be doing, or what they other people's definitions of success, like you said when you started, or they've just got lots of ideas about what they could do with their business, which are really fun and exciting, but they forget, or they don't think about how they're going to do that and also live the life that they want to live. And, you know, it's okay not to do everything all at once, although I must admit I struggle with that one a bit. But yeah, I really like that advice. And like I said, I see it play out over and over again with the lawyers who I work with.
Lucy, the other thing I did was start an accountability group with some friends who had similar goals, or, you know, wanted a similar change, who were outside of my industry. And we just caught up for coffee or lunch every 2 weeks. And I found that really instrumental in terms of problem solving, because we were all at different levels of the journey. So if there was something I was stuck on, often they might have seen something or sorted that out already and had some advice. And it also meant that I stayed on track to actually achieving my goals, especially when you're already, like, you're doing something as a side gig. It can be hard to juggle it all. So, you know, sort of setting goals and having someone external to keep me accountable for that was really instrumental.
I like the group idea too, because you would help to push each other on. Because if your friend's doing what they said they were going to do and you're not, then you're kind of like, oh, better catch up here because I'm letting the team down.
Yeah. I think just having someone to call you out on what you've done or not. I mean, look, that said, it probably took me a year to launch the Art of Estate Planning from, you know, conception of the idea to actually earning my first dollar. So it's not just a quick thing necessarily, but I was also recovering from burnout, so I didn't push myself too hard. But I just hope people realize there's different ways to be a lawyer and so many different versions of success.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's part of the aim of this podcast, is to show that law doesn't have to be done in one way, and we are about doing law differently. And recently, especially, a lot of the people who I've spoken to on the podcast dedicated to law are actually no longer practicing lawyers, because they've taken what they've learned and they've taken that knowledge and they've thought, well, how do I apply this outside the practice of law? And that's one of the reasons why I was interested to talk to you, because there are so many things that we can do in so many different ways of doing law. Thank you, Tara. I really appreciate you sharing your story and your advice for all the listeners. It's been really wonderful.
It's my pleasure. Thanks, Lucy.
And I'll include links to your course and your Facebook group in the show notes. So if people want to go and connect and check out your course, then they'll find the links there. Thanks again for tuning in to Doing Law Differently. If you enjoyed the episode, I'd love you to share it with someone else who you think will love it too. You can find all our past episodes at doinglawdifferently.com.au.